Stand by for action.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
Statements made during this broadcast regarding products or the claims made about specific products have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Products and treatments discussed are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Make your physician aware of all nutritional supplements used and immediately notify your physician if you have any health concern or undiagnosed sign or symptom.
Get ready to get healthy. Get ready to get fit. Get ready to take charge of your health. Get ready to listen, learn, and live healthier. It's time for some information and inspiration. It's time to talk about health and nutrition. Nutrition for your body. Nutrition for your body. For your mind. For your mind. For your spirit. For your spirit. It's time for Let's Talk Nutrition. Let's Talk Nutrition. Proper exercise, stress relief, eating well. Supplementation for when you don't. Let's Talk Nutrition. Scientists, authors, nutrition specialists, personal trainers, holistic healers, experts in traditional, natural, and integrative medicine. Daily prizes and giveaways. Let's Talk Nutrition is brought to you by Vitamin Discount Center. Visit VDCUSA.com for life, for less. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Garko.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Let's Talk Nutrition. I didn't realize it was Thursday. I don't know what I'm thinking about. This deep into the week, driving in, I had to be informed it was Thursday. Oh, boy. Welcome. With you Monday through Friday. We lose track from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern here on AM 1250 Winds, WHNZ, Impact Radio, and online at letstalknutrition.com. Click on Listen Live. From 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. Had an email asking me what time. It's live, same time. I'm on. You can catch the show live. And by the way, visit LTN Archives at my website and click on show schedule. And that will dial you into the archives. So today, we're going to be talking about a very important topic. My guest will be Marcy Klo, and we're going to be talking about children's health generally, supporting it, children and adolescents, and I guess the status of children's health and what we can do to improve the status of children's health and adolescents in America. But I'm going to open, we'll start on one end of the spectrum of the life cycle. I'm going to open with a story about stress and the elderly, and then, of course, we'll devote the rest of the show to children and adolescents. You've heard me on more than one occasion talk about stress. I do that because talk about it a lot. Big theme on the show because it is such an overarching issue, health issue. Spanning, you know, what's that phrase? Spanning the globe. It does span the globe, but it does span a great many of the illnesses that beset modern society, modern life, track back to stress in one way or another, some form or fashion. And humans left to their own devices, we figure out how to do that. Well, this study, it's a new one, and a Dr. Joyce Yao of the University Center for Cardiovascular Science was involved in this study. And we do know how that stress certainly has deleterious effects on our body. This particular study, though, was looking at brains. It was an experiment using a mice model, and they end up concluding that older age memory loss is associated with some stress hormone receptor sites in the brain. And we know that the elderly have a problem or a tendency, this tendency to lose memory function. And so this research becomes very important with respect to treatment for age-related memory disorders. So certainly stress is bad for our brains, but as we get older, it becomes especially, as I said, an important issue. And Dr. Yao said, quote, "While we know that stress hormones affect memory, this research explains how the receptors they engage with can switch good memory to poorly functioning memory in old age." And so they looked at these stress hormone receptors, and the study was by the University of Edinburgh, and it found that there was a receptor that, which cortisol, low levels of cortisol at that, will activate, and this receptor helps memory. But what they learned in this experiment with these mice was that the stress hormone cortisol, at low levels, once it's spilled over into a second receptor, things even got worse. Even with one receptor site, then another, and things begin to get worse. They found that high levels of stress hormone in aged mice made them less capable to recall how to get through a maze. The memory recall problem was, they said, reversed when the receptor linked to poor memory was blocked. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how they did that in the experiment. Maybe with an electrode or something. I don't know how they did that. And they claim that the research helps explain why too much stress, or otherwise chronic stress, which means over a long period of time, will interfere with the normal processes in the way that we store everyday memories. You know, as I keep saying, this, if you can think of it, I like the metaphor of a jigsaw puzzle. If you want to take, it could take any particular disease or disorder. Let's talk about memory loss here. Think of it as a jigsaw puzzle. And each piece of research begins to put a piece in place. Some of the, as you know, if you've worked with jigsaw puzzles, some pieces are more revealing than others. They will give you greater clues as to what really is going on with the puzzle. And so this kind of research, again, is part of putting this jigsaw puzzle on memory loss together. And no one study is going to do it all, and, you know, and it takes a lot of patience. So, well, you know, not humans, but patience. You know what I'm talking about. And Dr. Yao said that, quote, "We know that lowering the levels of these stress hormones will prevent them from activating a receptor in the brain that is bad for memory." She went on to say, "Understanding the mechanisms in the brain which affect memory as we age will help us to find ways to combat conditions linked to memory loss," end quote, which is to the point I was making with the jigsaw puzzle metaphor. And these researchers, you have to remember now, they oftentimes will devote their entire career to one line of research, spend their whole career working on one part of the puzzle. It's amazing. Got to respect that. It takes, man. And it does take a lot of patience. It takes a lot of funding as well. And we keep trying to figure out what this aging process is all about. What are the different mechanisms of action as it relates to our hearts, to our brains, and to all the vital organs of the body, right? All the organs are vital. It's redundant to say vital, or they're all vital. We're learning more and more, but the aging process is complicated. Now, again, we do know that how we live our life, genetics is involved. But I'll say it one more time. Genetics does not account for the major portion of variance in aging. It does not. Lifestyle, the way you live, and what you eat do. It's that simple. Different researchers attribute different percentages to those factors. Some say 25% of aging is driven by genetics. Some say that leaving 75% for lifestyle and nutrition. It there's a little bit of debate there. Some say 80%, 80-20. It depends who you're reading. At one time, we thought it was all genetically driven. And, you know, then that leads people to say, well, gee, I'm just aging gracefully. You know that I do not embrace that model of aging. It's a nonsense, baloney concept, aging gracefully. No. Aging gracefully is a fiction. Aging successfully is not. Now, some people are gifted, that's true, and just have good luck genetically, and they get a little help. But even people with great genes can destroy them through their lifetime by the way they live and what they eat. So it's within our span of influence to determine how we age. And if we can learn to manage stress and keep those cortisol levels down, maybe we'll have a little better memory as we age. I'll be back with Marcy Klow. We'll shift to the other end of the age spectrum, focusing on children and adolescents.
For nearly 15 years, Nordic Naturals has been setting the standard of high-quality fish oil, offering exceptional taste, industry-leading purity, and unsurpassed freshness. But did you know that all fish oils are not created equal? Lower-quality fish oil can contain environmental toxins, such as mercury, have a fishy taste or smell due to rancidity, or be harvested unsustainably. Nordic Naturals is a brand you can always rely on, just as medical doctors and researchers have for years. All Nordic Natural fish oils are third-party tested to exceed all international standards for purity and freshness, and are in the natural triglyceride form to ensure optimal absorption and thus better results. Nordic Natural's fish oils also offer the reassurance that our fish are always sourced sustainably, according to Norwegian fishing policies, which are the most stringent in the world. Taste for yourself why Nordic Natural's is the leading omega-3 fish oil brand in the U.S. Visit NordicNaturals.com today. Nordic Natural's, committed to a healthy planet. Committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Send your kids back to school with the Nutritional Edge, top-selling, great-tasting, rainbow-like gummies. Sugar-free Fiber Garden gummies provide 3 grams of fiber plus fruits and veggies, rounding out even finicky eaters' diets. Gummy Omegalicious Omega-3 formula supports healthy brain function with no fishy aftertaste, just sweet, tangy raspberry goodness. Gluten-free rainbow-like gummies come in single-serve packets, ideal for lunchboxes. Nutrition that makes the grade from Rainbow Light.
You're listening to the sound of a beautiful butterfly flapping its wings in slow motion. At Sprunk Jensen, we'd ask you to remember this butterfly when you visit your favorite natural food store. Why? Find our butterfly, and you found our scientifically crafted all-natural herbal remedies. You see, we've rediscovered the ancient Greek-Arabic herbal formulas proven effective over thousands of years. Each of our time-tested and science-based formulas address a specific health issue. Red dry skin, weight loss, cholesterol and glucose levels, even libido and sexual performance. And thanks to our eye-catching butterfly, Sprunk Jensen products are easy to find. Sprunk Jensen, a collection of clinically tested herbal formulas and topical creams dedicated to your well-being. Look for the box with the butterfly.
Let's Talk Nutrition is brought to you by Strauss Herb Company. Everything our bodies need is provided by nature. Kyolic. Aging makes the finest garlic truly odorless. Natrol, nourishing the potential of mind and body. Yerba Prima, pioneers in internal cleansing. Jaro Formulas, superior nutrition and formulation. Twin Lab, answers for life. Let's Talk Nutrition, on the web at letstalknutrition.com. We're back from the break, so let's rejoin Dr. Michael Garko.
And welcome back to Let's Talk Nutrition. If you just tuned in, thank you for taking a moment to spend a little time listening to the show, and you tuned into a good show today because Marcy Klow is with me. Marcy is Senior Director of Product Research at Rainbow Light Nutritional Systems, and we're going to be talking about children and teens' health. And we'll be looking at nutrition and lifestyle, and we'll see what Marcy has to say about that. And we're also interested in what you have to say about the topics of each and every day. Please give a call, 813-636-8255, 813-636-TALK. Love to hear from you. That's a local number, toll-free, 877-897-8255, 877-897-TALK. We hopefully, topics are selected for the show that are of relevance to you and to your family, your friends, and those that you care about. And this one, I think, is especially important. I mean, our future is our, the children of this country is found in our children. Marcy, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on. And did you survive the Expo West?
I survived, and I'm glad to join you today. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Doing okay?
Doing great. Doing great. So thinking about a segue between stress and children, and I think there's definitely something there being the mother of two kids. So,
if you could, and if you allow me to indulge myself for a second, I want to get your reaction to something that it does relate to our topic, but it's a study that was done by the Bloomberg School, John Hopkins Public Health, and these researchers took a look at the current rates for overweight and obesity in America, and created some trend models. And I want to share with you a statistic, and I'd like, if you could, to react to it. They report that if the trends continue for overweight and obesity in this country as they presently are, that by the year 2030, 86% of adults will be overweight or obese, with 51% being obese. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm not surprised at all. You know, I've been following the childhood obesity issues as they continue to develop in our country, and we're seeing tremendous increases in the childhood obesity, which is certainly affecting adult-type diseases, not only in children, but also later in life. So my response is certainly not shocking, and there are things we can do about it. We just have to be very cautious, and a lot of it has to do with educating our children and educating the parents as to what can be done to help prevent childhood obesity.
Mm. Well, these researchers at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, I mean, they then went on to project that they said, how long would it be before we reached 100% prevalence? And they're figuring somewhere around 2050.
Scary.
The title of the article of the study was, "Will Americans Become Overweight or Obese? Estimating the Progression and Cost of the U.S. Obesity Epidemic." Will all Americans become overweight or obese? That's the question. And there'll be this small minority of normal weight people. I mean, did you ever think in your career or in your lifetime that you would hear such a report?
Like I said, it's really not that shocking when you look at the eating habits. That's kind of scary for a dietitian to say, but, you know, when we're looking at the eating habits that we're trending and we're seeing, it's really not surprising to see the statistics growing that way. I would hate to think it would actually get to that 100% level, and there's always going to be the small percentage that's going to be fit and within normal limits for body composition, but it's a very, very scary thought to think about. We're going to have some huge problems in our country, more than we have now, if this continues.
I know. Yeah. And I just wanted to get your reaction to it. Mm-hmm. Overweight and obesity will come up in our conversation today with respect to children and teens, mm-hmm. for sure. And you have devoted some time and attention to the status of health in children, to the status of children's health in this country. And generally, what would you say about it, the status?
Generally. Well, as far as the status of health versus the status of obesity, I mean, as we're trending, the study you mentioned, and just the statistics in general from the CDC, the obesity levels are certainly on the rise, which can bring other health problems as well. And in general, as far as general health, we really have to look at immunity levels as well, and we have to look at the number of different health problems that are going on, and a lot of it really can be traced back to adequate or inadequate nutrition per se.
Mm-hmm. I went to the CDC, and I was curious as to what they were thinking and feeling about this issue, about, for example, adolescent health.
Mm-hmm.
This would be kids between 12 and 17. And they, and I'll quote them, percent of adolescents 12 to 17 years of age who are in excellent or very good health, 82%. Do you believe that?
Oh, well, it depends on what they're gauging it on. So, you know, you'd have to look at the parameters of what they're considering excellent health. So
That's excellent or very good health.
Yeah.
Who do you know? How many people do you know that are in excellent, and I mean excellent, health? I know a lot.
Not 86%.
Hell no. I read that. I said, I started thinking about people I know. I know a lot of people. I know you know a lot of people, given your profession. I'm thinking, do I, of all the people I know my sample isn't representative. It's not a random sample, and it's certainly not representative of the nation. But of all the people I know, how many are in excellent health? And I tell you, if you held a gun to my head, I'd say it's not 86% or 82%, right? I don't know how they got that number, but I who am I to question the CDC, right?
Exactly.
I'm just saying, I don't know. They got it from the health statistics for U.S. children. That's the National Health Interview Survey. That's where they got it. Was 2009, so this is not all that old. These are the most current data. I was struck by that. 82% of our youngsters are in excellent or very good health. Okay. If they say so, I guess so. I guess, you know, the data are what the data are. But you're not generally alarmed at the overall health status of children and adolescents in the country then, generally speaking.
No, I'm not generally alarmed at the health status. You know, I'm generally alarmed when I look at intake statistics as far as what kids are consuming and what they're getting in their diet versus what they should be getting in their diet. And I think that all adds up to the whole health equation.
What do you think are some of the biggest health risk factors to children's health?
Well, I we can go back to the obesity issue, and we're seeing certainly statistics of children who are now being diagnosed with adult onset diabetes when they're under 10, under 12 years old. And that's a frightening statistic to me. And with diabetes comes many other health problems as well, and we can relate a lot of that back to the obesity issue. So I think those are some of my biggest concerns.
No doubt. I'm curious as to what you think about alcohol, tobacco, stress, other kinds of risk factors that we usually throw into that happen in a dialogue when we talk about adult health. Do you think some of those factors will pertain to children's health as well?
Quite possibly.
Okay.
In some regions, yep.
Yep, okay. We'll be back with Marcy Clough. We're going to talk about children and adolescent health today and some of the lifestyle nutritional recommendations that Marcy has in mind to keep our children healthy. And according to the CDC, 82% of them are in excellent and very good health. All right, bravo. We'll be right back.
Let's Talk Nutrition is brought to you by A. Vogel, pioneer in natural health since 1923. Country Life, a leader and authority in natural health and nutrition. Form Essentials, makers of the all-natural sleep and relaxation aid, Solace. Garden of Life, empowering extraordinary health. Sprunk Jansen, putting herbal remedies back on the map. Rainbow Light Certified Organics, for a stronger state of health. Let's Talk Nutrition, on the web at letstalknutrition.com. We're back from the break, so let's rejoin Dr. Michael Garko.
And welcome back to Let's Talk Nutrition. We're at the halfway point of the first hour on LTN with my guest today, Marcy Clough from Rainbow Light. Marcy is a registered dietitian. Always love having registered dietitians on the show. They always bring an interesting perspective to the conversation. Marcy, I posed a question. I was thinking about it during the commercial messages. I asked you what you thought was some of the more important or salient risk factors would be to children's health. And I was sitting here thinking, and I said, would it be too outrageous if I said food being one of the risk factors? And you're a registered dietitian, do you think that's a little hyperbolic for me to say that food is a risk factor for children and adolescent health?
Absolutely not. I think it can be very applicable. It can be either the lack of food or the too much of certain kinds of food or too little of other kinds of food or the lack of nutrient makeup of the food in general. So I don't think it's hyperbolic at all. I think it's a very valid concern and valid statement. Sure.
Mm-hmm. There are areas in the country, in the major metropolitan cities, like places in like Detroit, Pittsburgh, wherever, where they have these things called food deserts. And it goes to the point, one of the points you just made, that the lack of food. In these food deserts, as they're characterized or described, there are no grocery stores. I tell people that, and they think I'm making it up. Are you familiar with the concept of food deserts?
I have heard of this, yes.
Yeah.
Not in our region, but in certainly the metropolitan regions that you mentioned.
Yeah.
The big problem.
It's crazy. The kids in those neighborhoods are given a Hobson's choice. A Hobson's choice is when you're given one choice. It's either take it or leave it.
Right.
And the only place where they, if there's no grocery stores, guess where they end? And if you had to guess what kind of food establishments were in those neighborhoods, you would say what?
That's an easy one. That would be fast food.
Thank you very much.
Convenience food.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's their Hobson's choice. That's take it, take out, or leave it.
Right.
It's not even funny, but that's we have children growing up in neighborhoods where there are no grocery stores, and we expect them to be what, healthy? That's insane, no?
No, it's not insane at all. It makes sense. If they can't have access to healthy food, then we can't expect to see the outcome of being healthy from eating a good diet.
Mm-hmm. What would you,
garbage in and garbage out.
If
you put garbage in your body, you're not going to have a good outcome. So.
No, you're not. And there are psychological development, there are emotional development, and those are food deserts, but we have grocery stores in some of the more affluent neighborhoods, but some of those kids in the more affluent neighborhoods are eating like the kids who live in the food deserts.
Yep.
Eating crappy food, and their development is impaired. As a registered dietitian in your training, I mean, we don't have to go to Harvard and major in nutrition to know that it's so important for the development of children and their growth and development, both physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever. We all know that, but I don't know. When I looked at that statistic from the CDC, I don't know. I see a disconnect. Percent of adolescents 12 to 17 years of age are in excellent or very good health. 82%. Why? I know the literature. 82% of children in America do not eat a healthy diet. No one will ever, ever convince me of that. And I don't know how you end up with that statistic when we know that the kids aren't. I don't know. I just don't get it. I'm a researcher, and that one puzzles me. But what recommendations would you give to parents and to the children? A lot of children listen to this show, believe it or not, because their moms pick them up from school. Cause I know this because they come when I do appearances. The children will come with their parents, and they want to meet me, and I want to meet them, and they have a very strong interest in nutrition. You'd be surprised. So what recommendations would you give to youngsters listening and parents listening as to what they can do to help promote good health nutritionally with their youngsters?
Well, you know, there's lots of different discussions that can be had, and it's a fairly broad question, but I would say in general that kids need, you know, a lot of schools now are doing promotions and doing, getting, I mean, our school, we live out in California, so it might be different here than it is in some of these food desert regions that we're talking about. But nutrition education is a big part of our curriculum, and we have a garden at our school, and they're really teaching kids the importance of making good choices and encouraging. My daughter's in kindergarten, and they got prizes and encouraged for every time they ate the fruit that was in their lunchbox. So there's lots of different programs that are available for parents and for kids to get involved in. There's lots of information on various different websites for the American Dietetic Association, for even government sites that have good recommendations on what are good foods to eat. But it really, really, really comes down to starting with the parents. And as soon as kids are able to eat solid food, really trying to introduce balanced whole food diets that don't skimp on healthy whole grains, fruits, and vegetables. It's important to teach kids to eat a wide variety of nutritious foods and get them accustomed to an active lifestyle. And if we can do that, we're certainly setting them up for a much healthier life. So there's lots of resources out there. It's just a matter of giving our kids access to them and making sure that they are not so influenced by their peers, because one of the things that you had mentioned is even children in affluent neighborhoods are tending to eat these convenience food desert type foods, and that has a lot to do with the parents and their planning and their purchasing really not considering the overall picture and trying to offer good choices to their children. So it's a pretty complex overall picture, but there's lots of things that we can do to help our families along.
Yeah, that's pretty cool what they're doing in your child's school.
Yeah.
Growing that kind of thing is wonderful. It gets the child intimately involved with the concept of food in a real sense, you know, from the earth to their mouth. You know?
Right.
And that's a wonderful idea.
Right.
Yesterday, I had a guest on, and we were talking, and when I was growing up, and I don't know if this applies to you as well, eating as a family together was the norm.
Right.
I mean, that happened. I mean, that was a nightly. My dad came home from work, you know, 5 o'clock, whatever, 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. My mom had dinner down on the table, and we sat down as a family and we ate dinner together. Mm-hmm. That was the norm. That's what that's how I grew up. Now, my guest yesterday, we're talking and we were laughing that, now, when the family sits down together, I mean, it's you know, really quite a special occasion, and it's not the norm for the family to do that. And I think that has really undermined the nutritional status of kids, not eating together as a family. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm in complete agreement, and I try to do that with my family as well. You know, the family meal is certainly something that's becoming non-existent, and what's happening in our society is, you know, if there is a family meal, they're taking their Burger King bag and sitting on the couch together, and that's sad. You know, it's not,
you just,
you know, there's no, I know we're going to break pretty soon here, but there's no, you know, we sit at the table, there's no TV, there's no computers involved. We have a conversation, and we talk about our day and have a meal, and that's really important as far as building a good nutritional foundation.
Yeah, and building good relationships between and among the family members. Be back with Marcy Clough. Very, very insightful comment there. We'll be right back with her and continue our conversation on the status of health of our children and adolescents in this country. Be right back.
You're listening to the sound of a beautiful butterfly flapping its wings in slow motion. At Sprunk Jensen, we'd ask you to remember this butterfly when you visit your favorite natural food store. Why? Find our butterfly and you found our scientifically crafted all-natural herbal remedies. You see, we've rediscovered the ancient Greek-Arabic herbal formulas proven effective over thousands of years. Each of our time-tested and science-based formulas address a specific health issue. Red dry skin, weight loss, cholesterol and glucose levels, even libido and sexual performance. And thanks to our eye-catching butterfly, Sprunk Jensen products are easy to find. Sprunk Jensen, a collection of clinically tested herbal formulas and topical creams dedicated to your well-being. Look for the box with a butterfly.
From everyday challenges to life's toughest obstacles, TwinLab has the answers for life.
Honey, I was surprised when my doctor told me that heart disease is the number one killer for both men and women.
Unfortunately, he's right. That's why it's more important than ever to take care of your heart.
TwinLab knows you only get one heart in this life, and you should take good care of it. For improved cardiovascular protection, choose TwinLab's innovative TwinSorb CoQ10, clinically proven to be more absorbable than most other CoQ10 products. Only TwinLab makes you feel this good. High blood pressure affects over 50 million people. TwinLab gets to the heart of the matter.
How's my blood pressure, Doc?
Don't worry. Good news. You're well within the healthy guidelines.
TwinLab's blood pressure control is specially formulated with clinically proven all-natural C12 peptide to help maintain already healthy blood pressure levels. Now and for the past 35 years, only TwinLab makes you feel this good.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Life is complicated. Now there is a way to help your brain figure it out. Natural Brain Enhancers from Doctors Best. Natural Brain Enhancers is a combination of two nutrients which occur naturally in the brain and support virtually all the brain's functions. GPC, or glycerol phosphocholine, and PS, phosphatidylserine, are vital phospholipids known for their benefits and safety of use for many years. GPC has been shown to support attention, memory, and other higher brain functions. PS is best known for its support of mood, memory, and stress management. Natural Brain Enhancers is a potent combination of GPC and PS, formulated to help your brain attain optimal adaptability to life's challenges. The name says it all. Natural Brain Enhancers from Doctors Best, because you deserve it.
Let's Talk Nutrition is brought to you by Doctors Best, science-based nutrition because you deserve it. New Chapter, the benefit of nature's wisdom. Nordic Naturals, pure and great-tasting omega oils. Nutricology, innovative nutrition. Renew Life, the digestive care company. Greens Plus, superfood for super health. Let's Talk Nutrition, on the web at letstalknutrition.com. We're back from the break, so let's rejoin Dr. Michael Garko.
Welcome back and welcome to the show. If you just tuned in, my guest is Marcy Kloh, and talking about children and adolescent health. Another statistic, Marcy, from the CDC, percent of school-aged children 5 to 11 years of age now who are, in the words of the CDC, in excellent or very good health, 83%. Then another, that's encouraging, I suppose, if one can believe it. I'll take them at their research word. Percent of children 6 to 11 years of age who are obese, 20%. That's a lot of kids. Percent of adolescents 12 to 19 years of age who are obese, 18%. These are the most recent data, 2007-2008, that we have. Very reliable data in terms of their timeliness here. So, obesity is a big part of what constitutes ill health among children then, doesn't it, as you were suggesting?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's a huge impact. And as we were talking about before the break, it can affect the whole family. So it's very important.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You're a registered dietitian. You have your children, of course. I'd be interested in the listeners responding to this question too, and there'll be a lot of listeners if you can give them the answer to this one. I'm really going to put you on the spot.
Okay, let's go for it.
How in God's good earth do you get kids to eat vegetables?
Ooh, that's a fun one, and one that I'm certainly challenged by at home and challenged by from a lot of my clients. And I think it really starts with starting when they're young and getting them to try new things. And, you know, I'll often have kids that are over at my house and, oh, I don't like that. And I ask them, well, have you ever tried it? And a lot of times they haven't even tried it. And I do the three-time rule at my house. You know, I'll try it once and say, okay, fine, they don't like it. Well, I'll try it again in a couple days. And, you know, you got to keep trying until you see if the kid really doesn't like it. You got to cook things in different ways. Kids are into things that look fun to eat. So making food in fun shapes or making things, making foods that that look kind of silly or that you can dip in a sauce or making it fun to eat. So there's lots of different things you can do to get them to enjoy eating a vegetable. Then there's also the whole philosophy of trying to hide vegetables in their food to get it in there as well, which works for some people. Some people too. So it, you know, it's a big debacle trying to get your kids to eat vegetables. But
I don't know how you hide broccoli.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a tough one to hide. You know, you can...
if the listener, if you have some recommendations, I'm sure that there are other listeners out there, moms and dads and whomever, raising children who would love to hear how you can get children to eat vegetables, fruit. Not too difficult. It's sweet. Please call 813-636-8255. 813-636-TALK.
Well, broccoli's been a pretty easy one for my children. You know, we started eating broccoli.
We do put chocolate on it.
No, of course not. But when they could first pick up a food, you know, we started eating their, we call them their trees. And, you know, that kind of gets a little interest going. And, you know, it's strange. That's actually one of the vegetables that my kids actually do like. And it's a tough one, but just, you know, like I say, keep trying it. Try cooking it in different ways. My daughter loves tamari or soy sauce, so she'll eat her broccoli with the tamari or soy sauce.
All right.
You know, she's getting a little bit too much sodium in there, but, you know, she's eating the broccoli, so she's getting the benefits from that. My son will dip everything in ranch dressing, and, hey, if that's what it takes to get him to try broccoli or try new vegetables, then that works. He's, one of his favorite snacks is cucumber dipped in a little bit of ranch dressing.
Okay.
Another way, you know, I'll just keep going until you want to stop me here. But, you know, one of my favorite.
I can't imagine you saying, let the beatings begin.
Right.
So. You get three tries. After that, you're getting a whooping. You would never do that, would you? No.
No.
I could never imagine you doing corporal punishment.
That
does not work.
I did put broccoli on top of my kid's brownie one day, though, because he really wanted the brownie. And I always said, not until you can get past that piece of broccoli, mister. So that works. So.
Boy, what an incongruent match that is. A brownie sitting, a piece of broccoli sitting on top of a brownie. Your poor son, he must have been so confused. You traumatized that poor lad.
I know. Isn't it awful?
You're such a terrible mom. Oh, my God.
I know. Goodness.
877-897-8255. 877-897-TALK. That's toll free. If you have or know how or heard of ways to persuade children to eat vegetables, please call and share it. I'm not kidding. I'm often wondered, Marcy, if humans were born with I hate vegetables gene.
Yeah, I know lots of kids that have the gene for sure.
I don't know how it, you know, that grapevine among children, that informal network. Somehow throughout the nation, maybe even the world, children somehow pass the word along, you don't want to eat vegetables, they taste terrible. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Oh my goodness. But the fruit they do pretty well with, right?
Yeah, kids like the fruit mostly because it has a little bit of sweetness to it. So,
yeah.
You know, vegetables are harder to get going, but, you know, there's certain, like I said, keep trying too, because sometimes they won't like it the first time, but you never know, they might like it the next time. So that's one of the things that I always do, is just keep trying it, and you know, they're going to eat it eventually, even if you have to put it on top of their brownie.
That's too much. I'm trying to envision that. How old's your little boy?
He's 7 now.
Yeah, I can see. Was this at the kitchen table? Is this where this happened?
Yes.
So he sits down and the brownie's there, and sitting on top of the brownie is a piece of broccoli.
You got to get past the broccoli to get to the.
Do you remember what he said to you?
Like, oh, Mom.
Oh, Mom.
Something like that. So, yeah.
That's what I would have said.
Yeah, exactly.
He ate the broccoli, didn't he?
He did.
He wanted to get to that brownie no matter what. He was going to.
You know what? Now he'll eat his broccoli because, you know, sometimes you got to dangle a little something out there to get him to do it, but whatever it takes.
Yeah, so. That's pretty clever. All right. We'll be back with Marcy Clough in the second hour, too. And we'll talk about some dietary supplements that Rainbow Light has put together that will help with the nutritional status of your children, no matter what age, you know, whether children or adolescents. They've really put together a nice menu of dietary supplements. And you are listening to Let's Talk Nutrition. I'm with you Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern here on AM 1250 Winds, WHNZ. And I'm not kidding. If you know of ways, or maybe you did it as a parent, you did it with your children, got them to eat vegetables, please call and share it. 813-636-8255. The phones aren't ringing, so maybe everybody's puzzled. 813-636-TALK. Or toll-free, 877-897-8255, 877-897-TALK. I have vivid memories of my mom and my dad trying to get me to eat spinach and whatnot. I spent a lot of time sitting at that table. Remember, your health is your wealth, and your health is the wealth of those that care about and love you. I'll see you in a moment.
My name's Henry Small, and I'm a 62-year-old musician, producer, and radio personality. I've been using Strauss Herb Company products for over 15 years, and they've worked for me. The Strauss family has had over 8 generations of herbalists developing their formulas in an effort to improve people's lives. Strauss products have made such a difference in my life. Let them make a difference in yours.
Be inspired by Strauss Natural Healthcare Products.
Are you suffering from those awful allergies? Hay fever, sneezing, watery eyes. Here's some advice you won't want to miss.
I'm a doctor, and my patients used to dread allergy season. But then I discovered A. Vogel Allergy Relief, a unique combination of natural ingredients that usually addresses every one of my patients' symptoms. And while it's clear that the vast majority of my patients benefit significantly from A. Vogel Allergy Relief, what's even more amazing is that after using it, at least half of my patients' symptoms didn't return. As a doctor, that's the kind of outcome my patients and I can appreciate.
Get doctor-recommended A. Vogel Allergy Relief for your allergy symptoms. It's proven safe, it doesn't make you drowsy, it's fast-acting, and it may even help prevent your allergies from returning. Available at Vitamin Discount Centers, Richards, Rollin' Oats, Vitamin Shop, Nutrition Smart, and other fine health food stores.